June 28, 1991. An elderly couple named Gord and Jackie McAllister drive their motorhome into an isolated rest stop near Blind River, Ontario, in order to spend the night. They are awakened by an armed man, who robs them before shooting Jackie to death and wounding Gord. When a motorist named Brian Major pulls into the rest stop, the suspect fatally shoots him as well, before fleeing the scene. Years later, a former Blind River resident is tied to two unsolved murders and becomes a potential suspect. After that, the trail went cold. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Trail Went Cold. I'm your host, Robin Warder, and today I am very happy to present our podcast's very first mini-sode. Ever since the inception of The Trail Went Cold, we have produced episodes on a bi-weekly basis, but we've since built up a big enough following of listeners who are yearning for more content. For the moment, the schedules of myself and my editor, Gil, probably wouldn't allow us enough time to produce a full-length episode every week, but we think we found a happy medium. Minisodes. There are some interesting cold cases that I've been wanting to cover on this podcast, but they just don't have enough material to fill a regular 30 to 40 minute episode. However, they do have enough material for a 10 to 15 minute minisode. So from this point on, The Trail Went Cold is officially going to become a weekly podcast, which will be alternating between our regular full-length episodes about the more extensive cases, and 10 to 15 minute minisodes about cases which don't have as many details. We feel this is a good way to deliver weekly content to our listeners and provide exposure for more cold cases. So all we can say is, thank you very much for your support and for being a follower of this podcast. We wouldn't have made it this far without you. So, since this is a shorter mini-sode, let's dive right into the case. As you may or may not know, The Trail Went Cold is a Canadian-produced podcast, so I think it's about time we did our first Canadian story. This is a case which was originally featured on Unsolved Mysteries in March of 1993, and I think most fans of the show would rank this among the all-time scariest and most disturbing segments. I vividly remember watching it when it originally aired, and it really, really bothered me. This is one of those unsolved cold cases where we know exactly what happened, but the big mystery is who the actual perpetrator was. We'll try to figure out the answer to that question on this week's minisode, so let's get started. Our story begins at approximately 12:55 a.m. on June 28, 1991. 62-year-old Gord McAllister and his 59-year-old wife Jackie, who have been married nearly 39 years at this point, have left their hometown of Lindsay, Ontario, Canada to embark on a vacation trip in their motorhome. They decide to pull over and spend the night at an isolated rest stop near Blind River, a small town in northern Ontario. On this particular night, the McAllisters are the only people at the rest stop. At 12:55, the couple is awoken by the sound of someone knocking on their door. They hear a male voice outside saying it's the police and that they'll have to move their vehicle. The McAllisters open the door and are shocked when an armed man with long, stringy blonde hair comes barging inside. He is carrying a .22-caliber rifle and a 20-gauge shotgun and utters the horrifying words, "I'm gonna rob you, then I'm gonna kill you." The suspect forces the McAllisters to hand over all their money and valuables as they plead for him not to hurt them. But then the man decides to fire a shot into Jackie, killing her instantly. Gord flees the motorhome, but the killer gets off one more shot, wounding him in the back. Gord still manages to escape and hides underneath the motorhome. The killer then exits the RV, but before he can find Gord, another vehicle driven by Brian Major, a 29-year-old resident of nearby Elliott Lake, pulls into the rest stop. The suspect immediately kills Brian by firing a shot at him through his windshield. After this, the killer gives up on trying to find Gord and flees the scene. When the suspect is gone, the wounded Gord comes out of his hiding spot, runs to the highway, and is able to flag down a passing truck to call for help. So as you can imagine, the reenactment of this crime on Unsolved Mysteries is absolutely terrifying. It's one of the more senseless murders ever profiled on the show, as the McAllisters offered no resistance to the robber and handed over everything he wanted without hesitation. The way the killer announced, "I'm gonna rob you, then I'm gonna kill you," meant that he was dead set on murdering someone that night, no matter what happened. And the idea that Brian Major, an innocent man who left behind a wife and young son, could just pull into the rest stop at the wrong moment and be murdered in an instant, that's also incredibly disturbing. The interview with Gord McAllister is one of the most heartbreaking ever featured on Unsolved Mysteries, as he seems like a genuinely sweet man who was absolutely devastated by his wife's murder and just had all the life sucked right out of him. One of the most gut-wrenching moments is when Gord says that he was worried the killer might come after him, but now he doesn't even really care if the guy shows up and murders him, because then at least it would mean he'd get caught. Unfortunately, the investigators didn't have a lot of evidence to work with. The biggest lead came from a motorist who reported that they were nearly sideswiped by a blue van they saw pulling out of the rest stop that night, so it's very likely that that was the killer's vehicle. Police checked into over 3,500 blue vans from the surrounding area, but they came up empty. Gord McAllister also provided a detailed description of the suspect to police, who turned it into a computer-generated composite sketch. And let me tell you, that sketch of the suspect's face is the stuff nightmares are made of. We're posting a photo of the sketch on our website, so you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And of course, when they show the sketch on screen during the Unsolved Mysteries segment, they accompany it with the creepiest music imaginable. But in spite of the publicity this case got, investigators were unable to turn up any strong leads pointing to a specific suspect, so for a while at least, the trail went cold. However, an interesting development occurred 8 years later when a pair of cold cases from 3 decades earlier got solved. On May 6, 1970, a 34-year-old housewife and mother named Doreen Morby was sexually assaulted and shot 7 times with a .22-caliber gun inside her home in Gormley, a rural area outside of Toronto. Exactly 1 week later, another housewife and mother, 38-year-old Helen Ferguson, was sexually assaulted and shot 3 times with a .22-caliber gun inside her home. This time, it took place in Palgrave, another rural area outside Toronto, and Helen's 9-year-old son was in the house. The boy was left unharmed and was able to provide a description of the perpetrator. Of course, the region was thrown into a panic by these crimes, as everyone assumed a full-fledged serial killer was on the loose, and he earned the nickname the .22-caliber killer. While there was fear that the killer would strike again, the murders came to an end, and it would be a long time before the perpetrator was identified. In August of 1999, the investigation turned towards 52-year-old Ronald Glenn West, who worked as a Toronto police officer at the time of the murders. In 1995, West had been arrested for going on a spree and committing 5 robberies in the Sault Ste. Marie area, and he was sentenced to 8 years in prison. While West was incarcerated, DNA testing would tie him to evidence from the murder scenes of Doreen Morby and Helen Ferguson. It conclusively identified him as their killer and officially closed 2 cold cases. West was given 2 life sentences for the murders, and he is still incarcerated today. So what does this have to do with the rest stop murders? Well, in 1991, Ronald Glenn West just happened to be a resident of Blind River, Ontario, and was still living there when he was arrested for his robbery spree in Sault Ste. Marie. And while I'm not sure this was ever officially confirmed, it's rumored that West actually owned a blue van at the time of the murders. Given that Blind River is a pretty small town, that seems like one hell of a coincidence. Not only that, but West was a former police officer, and the killer gained access to the McAllister's motorhome by pretending to be a police officer. Now, Gord McAllister described the suspect as being approximately 30 years old, and Wes was in his mid-40s at that time, but given that it was dark, and Gord was in a very stressful situation, you can understand if his assessment of the killer's age might not be accurate. And as far as I know, Wes did not have long hair at that time, but apparently, when his wife saw the composite sketch of the rest stop killer, she remarked that it looked just like her husband if he was wearing a wig. And if West was wearing a long blonde wig while committing this crime, it would be easy for Gore to assume that the suspect was younger than he was. So on the surface, West seems like the perfect suspect, but there's one unaddressed issue. Was Gordon McAllister ever asked to identify West as the killer? As you probably know, I'm a frequent poster at the Unsolved Mysteries message board in the Sitcoms Online forum. I don't know where this information originated from, but for many years, it was posted on the message boards that Gordon McAllister passed away in 1998. And since that was 1 year before West was tied to the two murders from Toronto, I could see how Gord wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to identify him as being his wife's killer. However, 4.5 years ago, someone uncovered an obituary notice for Gord McAllister, who passed away in his hometown of Lindsay in February of 2012. The obituary contained a photograph of Gord, so there's zero doubt this was the same guy. It also stated that Gord had gotten remarried, which was pretty comforting to know. The guy looked like he'd practically lost the will to live during his Unsolved Mysteries interview, so it was nice to know he was able to find someone else and live 20 more years in relative happiness. So I don't know how this false rumor got started that Gord died in 1998. I can only assume that maybe someone else from Ontario named Gordon McAllister passed away that year, and there was just a mix-up. But the point is that if Gord lived until 2012, you'd assume that at some point he would have been asked to take a look at a photograph of West and confirm whether or not he was the killer. In his Unsolved Mysteries interview, Gord stated that he would never forget this man's face. The case is still officially listed as unsolved, so if police did ask Gord to identify West, then I have a feeling he might have ruled him out. I have to say that Ronald Glenn West did have a pretty inconsistent M.O. When Doreen Morby and Helen Ferguson were sexually assaulted and murdered within a week of each other back in 1970, everyone was terrified that the killer would strike again, but after that, the murders stopped. It's possible that West did this because he had left Helen Ferguson's son alive as a witness who could identify him. Or maybe West committed murders we don't even know about. The only other crimes we know for certain that West committed are the robberies from Sault Ste. Marie in 1995, but in those cases, he tied up the victims and let them live. While there was robbery involved in the Blind River rest stop murders, you get the sense it was the perpetrator's secondary motive, and that his main reason for going through with the whole thing was for a thrill kill. But much like the Helen Ferguson murder, the killer left behind a witness who could identify him, which might explain why West traveled to an entirely different city when he went on his robbery spree 4 years later. So while there is a lot of compelling circumstantial evidence pointing to Ronald Glenn West as the Blind River rest stop killer, I can't say I'm 100% sold on him, unless I know for sure if Gordon McAllister was ever asked to identify him. But I'll say that I'm maybe 80 to 85% sold. Actually, I really do hope West was the killer, because he's going to be locked up for the rest of his life. As an Ontario resident, it would be nice to know that a guy who committed such an awful crime is not still out there somewhere. But the crime still is unsolved, so if you have any information that definitively ties Ronald Glenn West to the murders of Jackie McAllister and Brian Major, or any info that points to an entirely different suspect, please contact the appropriate authorities. But if you just have your own theory about what happened, I'd love to hear from you. Feel free to leave me a comment or send me an email at robin.warder@icloud.com. That's robinwarder@icloud.com. robin.warder@icloud.com. Also, be sure to check out The Trail Went Cold on Facebook and Twitter. We're now available for download on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music, so be sure to leave us a rating or a review at any of those places, because that will help us garner more exposure and bring in some potential new listeners. And if you like this podcast and aren't already subscribed to it, be sure to do so. We also have a donate button on our website, so if you're feeling generous and want to express your appreciation for all the hard work we put into this podcast, we would be extremely grateful, and we'll be sure to give you a shout-out on a future episode. I want to thank all my loyal listeners and supporters out there, especially those from the aforementioned Unsolved Mysteries message board at the Sitcoms Online forum, and my followers at the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. A big thank you to McGill Foote, who does a great job at editing and assembling this podcast together for me. He's excited for the challenge of providing weekly content now with these new minisodes, and he also happens to be the managing editor of The Back Row, the website which hosts this very podcast. And of course, a big shout out to Vince Nitro, who composes the eerie music you hear on every episode. You can also check out my true crime and mystery articles at crack.com and listverse.com, and there's plenty of other non-true crime content you can find right here at The Back Row. So thank you for listening to our very first mini-sode, and join me next week as I provide a brand new full-length episode of The Trail Went Cold.